Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
All of us. She's driving all the kids. I think we may have been going to a movie. We're in the back. There is a state police checkpoint where they are checking cars. One of the oldest cousins, my cousin Mary, we're pulling away from the checkpoint. I'll never forget this. And my cousin Mary rolls down the back window and goes, "He's in the trunk! Oh no!"
I remember.
I had a great conversation with a young person yesterday. Just somebody that I said, "Hey, do you need," because they seem to be asking questions about the vaccine. I was like, "Do you need a little guidance?" They said, "Well, I heard you can't get anything yet, and I want to get Pfizer, Moderna." And I said, "You could walk in D.C. and they have walk-up appointments. This is surreal that 2 months ago we were begging people to find us appointments."
Then that young lady Oscar was talking to collected the rest of her dollars on the stage.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It's hard with the mask on.
That's funny.
Talk about a super spreader.
What is the mission? What is the mission, the brood 10 cicada?
I'll answer specifically what the mission is. But the best thing they did was they got me tenure.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show. We're enjoying our second decade of the show that has become a daily routine for thousands of listeners. I'm doing the MMA.
Don't do
Bruce
that.
Buffer, brother of Michael Buffer. Medford, Oregon. Bradford West. Guillembrey, Ontario, Canada. Dares Beach, Maryland. Hey, where are you going? Going down Dares Beach.
Over there, Beach.
Going down to Dares Beach.
Think you might have nailed it.
St. Charles, Missouri, Derby, Kansas, and Rotterdam in the Netherlands. Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show. I can't believe I already talked to you. I think I'm losing it. About my my cool shoes that I bought a bunch of.
No, you started drinking again and started forgetting some things.
But where?
I got a new pair.
Oh, you got a new pair.
Well, so this is a new story then.
Add to your collection.
This is a new pair.
That is nicer than the old pair.
But do you think it's appropriate for a man that's 61 to wear a shoe that says "dude" on the back of
it? Guys only look at shoes the way that men or women look at shoes.
This brand is called Hey Dude.
Hey Dude. They're nice,
but for Florida,
yeah,
you know,
I think it screams that you care about your appearance, but aren't so serious about it that you're wearing loafers.
How hard would it be to take the Hey Dude label off?
I'm not going to modify it. I'm not going to crap it up.
A pro mod?
You wear Birkenstocks that scream. Yeah. Scream, but, I give zero Fs.
I will tell you, Skechers to me scream old man.
That's true.
And Carla, this is at the behest of my wife. She's done that. Let's not waste time. We want to talk about bugs.
Bugs.
Bugs. All
right. We want to talk about insects. I am fascinated with cicadas, and we have garnered an expert in the land of cicadas because, well, probably not down here in Florida, but up where you all are, they've arrived. They're coming.
Yes.
Hollywood casting could not get me a better professor. This is a professor right out of the, let me read the bio.
Please.
Dr. Gene Kritzky is the dean of the School of Behavioral and Natural Sciences at Mount St. Joseph University in Cincinnati, Ohio. He is one of America's foremost cicada experts and is prepared to discuss all things Brood X and his cicada mapping app. That's cool, too, because everybody always wants to know, where are the critters? There they are. Oh, my gosh. I remember them so well. Dr. Kritzky is the dean of behavioral and natural sciences and is a professor in the Department of Biology. He received his Ph.D. and M.S. in entomology from the University of Illinois in 1977 and 76, respectively, as well as a B.A. in biology from Indiana University. He's a Midwesterner. Professor Kritzky serves as editor of American Entomologist and has published 5 books and more than 100 papers on insect evolution, beekeeping history, Egyptology. There's a wild card. My daughter would love that. And Charles Darwin, please welcome Dr. Gene Kritzke. Doctor, so nice to have you with us. How are you, sir?
Doctor.
I'm doing well. It's great to be here, but I should point out I'm originally from North Dakota.
Oh, you're a Westerner. Don't call a Westerner a Midwesterner. They don't want to be called that. It's great to have you on the show, and it's great to have this discussion because I'm a Floridian now, so I don't know if this applies to me. I don't really know. We'll have to ask you. You're the expert. But the cicadas, as far as the home base of the show in the Washington, D.C. area, are arriving, and apparently this brood X is coming, and I'll start with what's the crop going to be like this year, Doc? What is what can we expect for areas of the country? Where and how many and when?
Well, we're waiting for the mass emergence most of the parts of the country for brood 10. It's a Roman numeral 10, but I will tell you that
I said brood X because I went to American University and got a degree in broadcast journalism.
I always say that brood X sounds sexier than
I think
brood
it does. 10.
It does,
just
yeah.
like the
Absolutely.
iPhone X. Yeah. They didn't go with 10.
That's right. So the periodical cicadas brood 10 are going to be emerging in throughout the eastern United States. They're going to be in 15 states. We're going to have a big batch in the east, probably the southeast quarter of Pennsylvania, nearly the entire state of Maryland. And we have a large group coming out in the Washington, D.C. area and Baltimore as well. We've got them in Delaware. We have a few scattered locations in Virginia outside of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Let's go west a little bit. It's going to cover nearly the entire state of Indiana, the west side of Ohio. Down scattered throughout Kentucky into Tennessee, and then east of Knoxville, there'll be a nice pocket. And then we will have some just east of Chattanooga and going south into the northern extremes of Georgia.
Wow. So there are lots of them. There are lots of places. Is this a normal dispersion of these cicadas, or is this a larger dispersion than normal?
Well, brood 10 is the largest of the 17-year broods, and it's also probably the most famous, the one that we know that gave us most of our information about cicadas, because they come out in large metropolitan areas: Philadelphia, Washington, Baltimore, Cincinnati. Those are four major cities in the late 19th century, and when they emerged, there were scientists in those cities that wrote things down about them, and so that's where we get a lot of our fundamental knowledge about what's happening with periodical cicadas as a whole.
That's amazing. You know, when I think of cicadas, and the first time I became aware of them is when I was in D.C. on the air. I don't remember prior to that being from Connecticut. I didn't grow up with at least I don't remember growing up with these bugs. I remember hearing in the trees during the summer, but I never became aware of insects coming out of the ground, a la War of the Worlds, until the D.C.
It's a good description, Mike. You've turned it really into sort of the horrific point of it, is that from the ground.
That's the coolest thing about the cicada, is coming down from the ground. Are there other insects on a large scale that do this, Doctor, other than the cicadas that go underground for a long time, that gestate, is that the right word that I used, underground? Yeah.
They're actually living down there, tunneling and sucking on tree roots.
Mm. Oh, and then are there any large scale insect broods that come out of the ground like the cicadas do? Anything comparable around the world?
Not really. We do have two other periodical cicadas. There's one in Fiji, and that comes out once every 8 years. And we have a periodical cicada with a 4-year life cycle in India that used to come out during the World Cup, but now that they've delayed it because of COVID, that's now shot.
That's not going to work. That's going to work. Go ahead, Oscar.
Yeah. Cicada Safari is available on the Apple App Store and Google Play. Check it out if you'd like. It seems to us that locally here in D.C., we have an area right outside of Washington, D.C. called Tyson's Corner where we can do all our shopping. And of all the places, it looks like the cicadas are starting there as we speak at the time of tape.
That's
really?
Right.
So they've arrived. Wow.
There's a nice, good emergence in just west of Tyson's, and I've got a few isolated reports from Fairfax, for example. Adults are beginning to emerge around there, but the first real large evidence of a real large emergence was west of Tyson, just south of south east of Vienna, about just a few miles.
Vienna, Rob, your favorite town in Northern Virginia.
The bad
Vienna,
thing
Virginia.
Is all those cicadas are going to emerge, and none of them are going to be able to make a left-hand turn.
So these cicadas, tell us, what is something that you would like? I always, when I have an expert on, you know so much about this. What is something commonly unknown about the cicada? We know they're underground. We know they come out. We know they have big red eyes. We know it's a beautiful photograph of the cicada you have. What is something
not
that's,
to scale, by the way, Mike?
What's something that's not common knowledge about the cicadas?
A lot of people think they swarm. They don't swarm like bees. They just come out in large numbers. That's not a true swarm in that sense. Other people think, a lot of people think they hibernate while underground. And they're not hibernating. They're tunneling, and they're, as I mentioned, sucking on tree roots. They molt four times underground. By the time they're 13 years old, they're at their last immature stage, and they just hang around for the next 4 years. And that's for the 17-year cicadas. We've got another batch of 13-year cicadas that do this on a 13-year basis.
So the 17-year cicadas are just sitting there fully grown for 4 years waiting. And are they still able to do the tunneling when they're mature?
Yes, they're tunneling around right now. In fact, a lot of people reported back in April when we had a lot of rain, they extend their tunnels with little chimneys, little mud turrets, if you will. They extend their tubes because they think they might get, I'm not sure they're thinking per se, but they this increase in water makes them want to extend the tunnel above ground level. And so these things have been reported now by the thousands to Cicada Safari. And we've got them here. You've got them in the D.C. area as well.
We have one of our producers that mimics the cicada livelihood, where he's still tunneling and trying to do something, but he's really not doing anything.
Right. That's our Matt Bloom.
He's a good guy.
He saps energy, too, from people, but not from trees.
Yeah, I wish I only had to come out here every 13 years.
Me, too.
Fortunately, it's more than that.
How far underground are they, Doctor?
Right now, they're probably within 4 inches of the surface, and the tunnel may be just slightly below the what ground level. They do get down as far as about 10 to 12 inches, but that's right after they hatch from the eggs, which will be in about 6 to 10 weeks after the cicadas are gone. And they drop to the ground, they feed on grass roots for a few weeks, and then by New Year's Day.
Yeah.
You know what I do on New Year's Day? You go out and dig up cicada nymphs, and you'll find them between 8 and 12 inches underground.
Now, that's not very far underground. So if you're in an area, and you mentioned Fairfax and Tysons, there's a tremendous amount of construction there all the time. Will the digging of the construction, will that disrupt them, and will that change the amount of the brood?
What will change the amount of brood is they take all the trees out.
Oh, okay.
That's where they hang out.
All right.
What is the amazing thing is that this timing, where 17 years, 13 years, I'm just dumbfounded by that. Explain how that, how does that happen?
Because they don't have iPhones or anything.
They don't have iPhones with calendars. It's amazing to me how that works.
That's true. Well, it turns out they are able to detect the fluid flow in the this gets back to your biology classes, the fluid flow in the xylem tissue of trees or xylem feeders. And as you recall, that's the tissue that brings water and minerals up to the leaves.
I don't.
Well, now you do. And that's okay. Great.
Very good.
I remember photosynthesis. That's
yes.
That's what good. I got. Doctor, if you could please... Mike has a little, he has a 7-year-old. Rob has an 18-year-old. I have nieces and nephews. And if I could share something fun that like will make us feel like great dads and uncles about the cicadas that most people like would think a child or a teenager might be interested in, what's that fun fact?
Well, for me, the what I'm encouraging people to do is especially if you've got younger children around the house, get Cicada Safari and then go out on your own Cicada Safari. Look for cicadas, and when you see one, take a photograph. Or later when they're singing, when you have a singing tree screaming, take a 10-second video, which you can do in Cicada Safari now, and send us that video, because from the audio, we can tell what species are singing. And what I'm hoping people will do that this will do is ignite that interest in natural history and science, and who knows, you may have a future doctor in the house.
Cool.
I've heard a lot about talk about cicadas as far. Well, what do they do? What is their thing? What do they contribute? Do they pollinate? Do they destroy other insects that might be harmful? Is there any? What is the mission?
The mission of the
brood 10 cicada?
I'll answer specifically what the mission is. But the best thing they did was they got me tenure.
Good answer, Doc. I like that. Yeah, congratulations. Appreciate
what you're asking. What do they contribute to the ecosystem? And so while they're underground for those 6-17 years, they're turning over the soil as they tunnel around. When they emerge, they're going to leave these big holes behind. That's like a natural aeration for the soil, which is very good. When they come out of these enormous number, that's a food pulse for raccoons and birds and squirrels. Even squirrels eat them, being herbivores. They take advantage of this food pulse. We found in Ohio that during turkey season, the male body weights of turkeys living in cicada emergence areas is actually higher than average. That's a good thing. There'll be an increase probably in the rodent population, which that's not just good for the rodents, but also for the raptors and owls that feed on them. So that's helpful. When the female cicada goes in the trees and she lays her eggs, sometimes that tears up the vascular tissue of the tree, and the leaves wilt and turn brown. And sometimes that breaks and sort of hanging there. That's called flagging. It looks ugly, and it can harm a very, very small tree, 3 or 4 foot and smaller. But that's like a natural pruning. Back in 1869, there was a paper published in the original American Entomologist that was titled "Out of Evil Cometh Good." And it was all about how the orchardists in Illinois and Missouri were saying, we have a bumper crop this year. And they realized it was because the cicadas were there the year before. Lastly, they die and they drop to the trees and they collect around the base of trees, give it a nice rain and hot temperatures like you get in the Washington, D.C. area, and they rot and they stink to high heaven. But as they decay, those nutrients go back into the soil around the trees to help the trees, but also help the cicadas.
Wow. So they virtually are harmless. They're virtually harmless. And in fact, they do good.
Yeah, they're not going to bite. They're not going to sting. They're not going to carry away your small children. They are beneficial to the trees. And so, for example, here in the Midwest, we're losing a lot of our ash trees from the emerald ash borer. If we have this increased pulse, let's say there's a maple tree in nearby an area where the ashes have died and there's these openings now, those increased numbers of maple winged fruits that go in there and produce new more maple trees will possibly fill in those gaps. And indeed, that's what we're finding in Ohio, is that maples are one of the trees that are coming in to sort of reclaim the land that the ash once was inhabiting.
Wow. You talk about the animals that are eating and feeding on the cicadas. Mike and I used to work with a gentleman who ate a few cicadas in his day.
My old radio partner, Don Geronimo, one of his claims to fame on the show, 17 years ago, was eating them live by the handful. It was, I often reflect back on my time with him, and I thought it was one of the most spectacular things I ever saw. I went to a gourmet restaurant and had them tempura fried and enjoyed the cicadas. They are a source like any insect, I suppose, and there are other cultures around the world that enjoy insects as a source of protein. How do you feel, Doctor, about the cicada as a food source for human beings?
Well, it's certainly not a sustainable food source. You'd eat once every 17 years, so that makes it kind of difficult.
Yeah, rough. Yeah. Otherwise,
you have to travel around the country and find them where else they'll be there. But there won't be any cicadas next year or the year after. That's one of our hiatus years, if you will, between the various broods.
At cicadasafari.org, Doctor, you mentioned the best way or the way that they're most palatable, and you had a striking sort of comparison to the flavor of a cicada that I thought was sort of off-putting.
Yeah. So, well, as they come out of the ground, but as the nymph, they start shedding their skin and they're hanging there all nice and white before they've darkened, like the one behind me. That is when you need to pick them for consumption, because after they harden and turn black, as you see, it's like eating the tail end of the shrimp. There's not that way the part that you hold onto when you dip it in the cocktail sauce.
Right.
And so that's not very appetizing. But when if you get them all, what we call tenneral and all white, and then put them on ice until you're ready to consume them, then they're all soft and pleasant. You want to collect primarily the females because she's full of eggs. She has about 500 eggs, and that's there's more flavor in the eggs than there are in the males. The male abdomen is mostly hollow to help resonate its call. That's probably the primary way you want to collect them if you need to eat cicadas.
And how do they taste?
And the taste, back in '87, I ate a few. I haven't since because they've been, they've been very, very good to me. So,
the aforementioned tenure. Yes, that was it.
Flavor's very distinct. The flavor tastes like an off-brand can of cold canned asparagus, a very green flavor. And so it's not that it's gone off. It's just it's a generic brand.
That's a great description.
I thought Don described him as nutty.
I thought he said peanut buttery kind of nutty taste.
And they don't taste like chicken.
That's good. And being an entomologist, and I think we've unless there are any other questions about the skate, just a couple of quick other bug. The stink bug. Is something that's always gotten to me a little bit. What's your take on the stink bug, doctor? They're kind of a pain in a lot of ways for homeowners.
There are several, and we have the brown marmorated stink bug, which is just referring to that sort of finds its way into the house.
Yeah,
and buzzes around. We had one just in our house just yesterday. They're what's called an occasional pest. They're not a pest that's going to bite you necessarily, but people, if they're not careful, and they mess with it at the wrong time, they'll produce a pungent odor, which is sometimes off-putting for some people. But mostly, once you've handled one and gotten that smell on your hands, you'll leave them alone from then on.
Mm. And doctor, are ladybugs lucky?
not that I'm aware of.
Okay. Yes, Rob, you had another.
Yeah, there's been every now and then you hear in the news that there's a bee crisis, a shortage of honeybees, and I think a lot of people draw a correlation between that and Roundup, the weed killer. Is the honeybee population in danger, and where are we standing with that?
Well, the bee populations are in danger in many urban areas, like here in Cincinnati. Our winter kill is up to 70%. The real concern, as opposed to Roundup, is Roundup, of course, is for reducing the foraging area.
Right.
That's a major concern. But we also have the neonicotinoids pesticides, which are a concern as well. I have bees. Michael mentioned, I've written a book on bees. Are in Egyptology, and that was about bees. I should clear that up. But it takes a lot more work now to bring the bees back to the numbers you have. If you have a bee, let's say we have a bee kill of 50%, then we have to go out there and split the hives, buy packages, reassemble the things, get them going, and then you'll lose some more in the following fall. It's rather difficult. And the average age of beekeepers is rather high. It's in the low 70s, upper 60s, low 70s.
Really?
And so that's a concern. But beekeeping is a $19 billion industry when you look at all the stuff that's involved. You've got their work in pollination of fruits and other food crops. You've got the wax production, which is critical in a number of pharmacology and cosmetic industries. You've got the honey production, which is a major food source and commodity for a lot of people. All that. The cliche that, one out of every three bites of food required a bee. I'm not sure if that's totally accurate, but just think about it. If we every almond you eat, if you like almonds, every almond required a bee. If we didn't have bees, you would not have almond joys. You'd only have mountains.
That's awesome. I love it when you dumb tragic. It down for
yeah,
us.
Yeah,
are there any last question before we let you go, doctor? And it's cicadasafari.org. That is the free. That is free at the Apple App Store and on Google Play. Everything you want to know about cicadas is right there.
Great facts, too. Great facts and stuff.
Being for so much of your life an entomologist, is there anything that has, in your studies, in your travels, in your world, that has truly creeped you out in the insect world?
Good question.
actually, I find the creepier, the more fascinating.
There it is. There, that's a great, that's a true answer right there. That's the way you roll. You wouldn't be in that business if you got creeped out by bugs. You'll love them. This is great. The cicadas are coming. They're in Northern Virginia already. Dr. Gene Kritzky, congratulations on that tenure. And thank you for being an absolute just font of information right there. Everything you need to know about cicadas. Anything we're missing for the unwashed masses out there before we let you go?
The only thing you're missing is the shameless plug. My book, Periodical Cicadas, the Brood 10 edition, published by the Ohio Biological Survey. It'll give you everything you want to know about basic cicada biology, where the broods are, and it reviews all the things that happened during the 18 previous emergences of Brood 10.
And it has an amazing twist ending. I won't spoil it, but you got to read it.
World domination. Thank you, Dr. Gene Kritzky.
Thank you, Doctor.
Thank you for coming on the Mike O'Mara Show. Woo. We appreciate that.
Thank you very much.
Good job. We're going to take a break. You. When we come back, ladies and gentlemen, we will have more fun and more thrills right here on the Mike O'Mara Show with our homepage. It's another great one. And thanks to Dr. Kritzky. And beware of those red-eyed little monsters coming out of the ground. We'll be right back, everybody. Thank you, Doctor.
Hello, everybody. This is Bob Barker. And yes, I'm still alive. When I was hosting The Price is Right from Television City in Hollywood, we played a lot of pricing games. Barker's Bargain Bar, Hole in One, Punch a Bunch, Grocery Game, Golden Road, Plinko, and of course the lamest one of all, the Bonus Game. I hated the Bonus Game. If you want a good bonus, why not try the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show? It's a commercial-free, uncensored 6 hour of TMOS every week. Blah, blah, blah. I like when they say bad words. That's how much it meant to me. You can buy it at MikeO'MaraShow.com. It's a fun way to support TMOS. Thank you. And don't forget to help control the internet population. Have your podcasters spayed or neutered. Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye, Bob Barker Bug Talk. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. This portion of our program is brought to you by Calm. Here's the bad news. The world is full of uncertainty, and that might leave you feeling stressed or anxious. So do you want the good news?
Yes.
Well, here it is. You can navigate change, feel more relaxed, and quiet your mind with Calm. We're proud to be partnering with Calm, the number one mental health wellness app, to give you the tools to improve the way you feel. Clear your head with guided daily meditations, improve your focus with Calm's curated music tracks, and drift off to dreamland with Calm's imaginative sleep stories. And if you go to calm.com/TMOS, you get a limited time offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription. That includes hundreds of hours of programming, and new content is added every single week. Over 100 million people around the world use Calm to take care of their minds, sleep more, stress less, live better. Live better with Calm. It's okay to need help sometimes, and Calm can provide support. We all need a little help, especially at these difficult times. For listeners of our show, Calm is offering a special limited-time promotion, 40% off at calm.com/TMOS. Go to calm.com/TMOS for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/TMOS. And I thought that first segment was fascinating, boys.
I loved it. And thank you, Mark Riddell, for hooking us up with the good doctor. I want to say that.
There you go. See, you're being a good guy now.
No, it's not at all.
It's not hard to be transparent. It works well, doesn't it?
Yeah, he was a good guy. But when I knew he was going to be a winner when I saw his mustache.
Oh, that's Central Casting's college professor.
Absolutely, he's a good guy.
It was fantastic. Thank you, Doc. We appreciate it. I'm still creeped out about it.
Just remember, Mike, off-brand white asparagus.
Off-brand white asparagus. Oh, man, fry me up a bunch.
Yeah, four corners of the World Wide Web and into your digital device. It's what you need to know. This is the homepage.
President Joe Biden set a new vaccination goal to deliver at least one shot to 70% of adult Americans by July 4th as he tackles the vexing problem of winning over the doubters and those unmotivated to get inoculated. Demand for vaccines has dropped off markedly nationwide, with some states leaving more than half
of their available doses unordered. Aiming to make it easier to get shots, Biden on Tuesday called for states to make vaccines available on a walk-in basis, and he will direct many pharmacies to do likewise. I think one of the things I have heard is putting it in the hands of the doctors in the individual doctor's offices is a great way to do that if they have the capability.
Yeah.
Because then, you know, you go in regardless of what your preconceived notions are, and your doctor says it would be very beneficial. You're a high risk person. It'd be beneficial to you to get your vaccine. I think that would be a good idea. You are looking like perhaps you're skeptical of that, Oscar.
Well, I remember how I mentioned that I basically go to a public clinic for my doctor because they can take me anytime, and
yeah.
I'd rather not spend or look for another doctor because it's just time that I don't have.
Yeah.
And they have the vaccine, and one of their patient rooms actually has a doorway to the staircase, so you can hear the entire conversation between you and the doctor in the staircase of the building. It's just not the best place possible. So if my doctor can get the vaccine, any CVS or Walgreens should just be able to poke that thing in you and move on with life.
Do you think it's going to improve getting more people the vaccine if they do it like this? I think it would have
well,
to
I think,
help
I mean,
bit.
Anytime you have another outlet, it's good. And I think that there's probably some people that are thinking, I don't know if I want to go to a drugstore to get this. If you get it from your physician, I think it comes with a layer of confidence added. If that's what you need to get it, then do it.
I had a great conversation with a young person yesterday. And by that, I mean they're under 25. And they don't work with me or anything like that. It's just somebody that I said, hey, do you need, because they seem to be asking questions about the vaccine. I was like, do you need a little guidance? They said, well, I heard you can't get anything yet, and I want to get Pfizer, Moderna. And I said, you could walk in D.C. as time of taping today, and they have walk-up appointments with no appointment, like walk-up clinics with no appointment. And you can go online and see what vaccine they're actually offering.
Yep.
You can even choose now. This is surreal that 2 months ago we were begging people to find us appointments.
Yeah, there are pockets in the D.C. area where the supply is now ahead of demand.
And then that young lady Oscar was talking to collected the rest of her dollars on the stage.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It's hard with the mask on.
That's funny.
Talk about a super spreader.
I said daughters instead of dollars. I blew the line.
That's fine. We knew the joke. We knew
you such an ass.
maybe you weren't so eager. How long have you been doing this? How long have you been doing this? A week?
Shut up, Mike. More vaccine news. Pfizer expects, this is good for me. I'm excited about this. Pfizer expects to file for full U.S. Food and Drug Administration approval for its COVID-19 vaccine for people ages 16 to 85 this month, and will seek emergency use authorization for its vaccine for children aged 2 to 11 in September. I'm all in on that one.
That's good.
That's a great thing. They said that during an earnings call on Tuesday. So, yeah, more the merrier. Get it done. Get this thing behind
us
so we can be normal. And I like the plan also, getting this vaccine to people around the world that need it a hell of a lot more than we do here. Today is Cinco de Mayo.
Hi.
I can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
I just felt like
And it's really the first party holiday since huge numbers of people got the vaccine. So I had a margarita last night. I had one margarita, and it was delicious. It was lovely.
How many ounces?
What's that?
How many ounces?
It was a bucket.
Bucket of margarita.
Lots of people are going to want to live it up today, even if they don't know why they're living up. A survey just asked people what Cinco de Mayo actually is about. Only 10% of people knew the correct answer. Celebrating a major Mexican battle win. Mm-hmm. The victory was over the French at the Battle of Puebla on May 5th, 1862. That's what Cinco de Mayo is.
I spent a Cinco de Mayo in Cancun, Mexico, one year. And
fun?
I remember the staff, because the gringos were throwing down, but the staff was like, just another holiday where we make money because you guys are dummies.
Mm-hmm.
That's
there you go.
It.
39% of people thought Cinco de Mayo was Mexico's Independence Day. It's not.
Yeah, I, for years I would post on Facebook, Happy Mexican Independence Day.
To just get all the people
to
correct
troll
you.
People, yeah.
Yes. You're sneaky that way. 26% thought it was just a general celebration of Mexican-American culture. 13% admitted they had no idea. Those are the people I thought. Some guy with a corona.
I don't know. Fill me up.
Mike, we did a survey at Dares Beach in Maryland. And the number one answer was, oh, no.
I didn't care, and I didn't want to care.
The way I look at it this year, Mike, is stimulate the economy of your local Mexican restaurant. Whether it's outdoors, or you've got some indoor play, or you can get something to be delivered to your house, take this opportunity and order something from them.
Do it.
That's wonderful. 59% of people today will eat Mexican food, 32% will drink margaritas, 17% will drink Mexican beer, 14% will go to a party, and 8% will go to a bar. And finally, 8% of people say they're going to use today to read up on Mexican history.
That's me.
More about that. That's you at home. Yeah,
yes, I've got a thick tome.
Should be fun. You might think that after a year of living in a global pandemic, people might be a little more careful with their health and their bodies. Well, you would be wrong. The hot new trend on social media, eating rotten meat to get high. I kid you not. The trend is called high meat. And people say that eating old, decomposed, discolored meat with mold and bacteria growing on it makes them feel euphoric. What is wrong with people?
Suddenly the cicadas don't sound so bad.
This is why the rest of the world hates us.
Yeah, it's true.
Unreal. But this really begs the question, will it make them sick or even possibly kill them? It definitely could, it says here. There's potential for all sorts of really bad bacteria to grow on old meat, so you could wind up with a stomach ache, diarrhea, food poisoning, or worse. And if it's worse, I say yay. Yay for that.
But what about the euphoria, Mike?
Moldy meat. Jesus, give me a break.
My mom's been playing this game with us since we were children, because she would forget sometimes that she threw a steak on top of my dad's Mercedes to defrost.
And oh, that's right, yeah.
The blood would just... My dad would get so pissed. He'd be like, why is there blood
she
all
would
over
put,
my hood?
Was it because of the temperature of the Mercedes or because the Mercedes was out in the sun?
It's because the Mercedes was my Mercedes.
Oscar's famous Jack Weston impression.
I like when Oscar does Jack Weston. That's pretty good.
was right next to the refrigerator.
Right.
So
it was a garage fridge, yeah.
Yeah, so she would be like, this looks like a good shelf. And then it would defrost, and all the meat, all the juices would go all over my dad's hood. He'd have a cow. This would happen every month.
Did I tell my organic meat story yet on
the
show?
No, not yet.
No, not yet.
Oh, God, it was so... I can tell now. I mean, it's not a biggie. I went to Costco, and I got a ground organic turkey.
Yeah.
And it was the kind of ground meat where you see it with turkey occasionally, where it's not like the little tendrils of turkey meat that are ground up. It's more like a puree, right? And I don't like that anyway.
Yeah.
But I figured when you cook it up, it'll firm up a little bit.
Together, yeah.
So I open it up, and I open up the little ziplocked sealed package, and the smell of the crypt comes out of it. And I still think, well, maybe, you know, you with bad food of any kind, you're always going to say
to yourself.
It's
organic. You're like, yeah
organic.
Something.
Maybe that's why it smells. And I put it in, and I'm like, no, still stinks. Oh. And then
kidneys.
It was so disgusting. And I've got it. I should probably do a consumer alert. The package said till May 3rd, I think. Mm. And I had purchased it the weekend before. So it's nasty. And I did not put it on my father's Mercedes, though.
You should get a refund on that.
Like you're right.
We would
digress like that.
And it'd be like
2 days
of defrosting because my dad was out of town or something happened because they didn't remind her that the steak was on there.
Oh, she forgot about it.
So we had to get some paint correction at one point. It was just...
You mean it really damaged the paint job on the Mercedes?
My mom, she's as foreign as the day is long. The things she would do that regular Americans would never do to anything. But there would be days that there was gray meat. That's my whole point to this is like, Mom, I don't know if that meat's all right. She's like, well, we got to eat it. I bought it. And then she'd cook it up and see what happens. That's it.
Think about medieval times, right? I mean, come on. I mean, the stuff they used to eat back in the day, and we worry about a freshness date on a quart of milk.
Yeah,
I mean,
but we're not trying to get high.
Yeah, that's
but that this does challenge. Explain
they can be
my,
damned.
This what? Does explain why everyone who shops at Food Lion is so happy all the time.
I'm so. What's the matter? This is my skull. I shopped at Food Lion. Yes, siree. Yay. People have talked about men wearing engagement rings for years, but that trend has never really blown up. But now the most famous jewelry store in the world is about to validate it. So we'll see how things change. Tiffany & Company is rolling out a brand new line of engagement rings for men this month. Isn't this it's a wedding ring, right? I mean, it's right. It's
well,
not,
yeah, the engagement ring is part of the promise, I guess. But I don't think this is sort of a desperate cash grab.
They DCG a desperate cash grab. They haven't said what the prices are going to be, but the pictures show the rings look more like men's wedding bands. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah,
just with a huge diamond embedded in them. Well, if you have that, then you put it on your pinky and you play poker.
Hey, it's me,
Las Vegas,
Chili from Philly. I'm getting married.
Hey,
I don't think.
How you doing?
I don't know if I buy into this. Like, I don't. And maybe if I like jewelry, that's something that you'd get into. But I wouldn't care either way.
I'm not a big jewelry guy, except I do have my Four Ocean little. I like that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
I like wearing something if it's signifies something. You know.
Yeah.
This is the one, by the way, the newest one for Four Ocean. I forgot what it's called, but all the plastic is recycled from garbage they take out of the ocean, and then this is one where all the beads fell off of it. That one, that's a nice one too. But I kept that one anyway. And I'd be willing to get more.
Yeah, I'll grab you something from Pandora for Mother's Day. You'll get something nice.
Because I hear Mike O'Mara is a bad mother. Shut your mouth.
Please don't. And now a little something, something. A group of elderly tourists in Chongqing, spelled Chongqing, Chongqing, China, all paid to go on a sightseeing tour recently, but it was actually just a way to get them to a cemetery for a sales pitch.
Hey!
Yeah, basically, hey, you're dying soon. Get buried here. That was the purpose of it. The local tourism office says they're investigating the people running the sightseeing tour. They also mentioned that the old people did get lunch as part of their
wonderful
trip. This traditionally happens during a timeshare, right? You get hoodwinked into a timeshare.
Yeah. Hey, come on over here. Look at the beautiful mountain over here. Now, here's a cemetery you might be interested in. As Rob Spiewak would say, he said it forever, that is how they get you. That's the way they do that. We got to take a break, and
that's how
we'll
they
come
get
back. We'll talk about freedom of speech. And a man who was very much top of mind just a few short months ago, and now he wants to come and flap his gums on Facebook again.
Yeah.
We'll talk all about that right here. More fun and thrills right here on Mike O'Mara's show, everybody.
Thanks, Mike. Time now to check the TMOS Community Bulletin Board. Tonight is bingo night in the social hall at Our Lady of the Perpetually Bleeding Ulcer. Early Bird Bingo has a $500 jackpot. Do you like flapjacks? Well, if you do, the Loudoun County All-Star High School Jazz Band has a night for you. They're holding a fundraiser to pay for their trip to south of the border in South Carolina, and it's tomorrow night at Oscar's House of Pancakes from 6 to 6:15. If you have a question, thought, or birthday request for the TMOS mailbag, send an email to rob@mikeomarashow.com. Remember, Rob has two B's, or send it through snail mail to TMOS Mailbag, P.O. Box 32101, Washington, D.C. 20007. They also like packages, and that's your TMOS Community Bulletin Board. Now back to more hijinks on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Yes, hijinks coming. Here it comes. This portion of the show brought to you by HVMN. Here's a fact. The average American consumes around 17 teaspoons of added sugars each day. Those are the sugars you really don't know about.
Right.
So if what you put in your body today is the foundation for the you of tomorrow, start cutting out unnecessary sugars from your diet. HVMN is obsessed with helping you reach those goals through modern nutrition, powering your metabolism with less sugar and more ketones. Modern nutrition for modern lifestyles. HVMN is a nutrition company that takes the mystery out of counting macros.
They're results-driven, modern nutrition for modern lifestyles with less sugar than the competitors. Whether you're just curious about keto, you want to improve performance, lose weight, or boost brain and body wellness, HVMN has a non-intimidating solution for you, and it tastes great.
Mm-hmm.
HVMN offers single items like MZT, MCT oil, keto food bars, and keto collagen powder, or you can grab a kit that includes all the essentials at an everyday discount. Right now, HVMN offering our listeners an additional 10% off their first order when you go to hvmn.com/TMOS. Embrace healthy living today. Go to hvmn.com/TMOS for 10% off your first order. That's hvmn.com/TMOS for 10% off. All right, big story in the news and a publication that, you know, a source that we use for promoting this show all the time.
We're also on streaming Facebook. Live on both platforms.
My wife's on
there.
You know, and she was very happy letting everybody know that she was indeed the winner of the best facial. And
yes.
I'm on Facebook all the time talking about eat this, do that. I'm here. We're there. So the president apparently is the decision is being made by some sort of Facebook board.
Please, Mike,
today.
Ex-president.
Whether to. Has anything come down?
I have the latest. I just texted it to you, Mike. The latest is
okay.
in your text thread.
Oh, my goodness. Should I put a Tiffany up here?
20 minutes ago. 20 minutes as showtime was breaking. I love it when we have some sort of resolution on the show in real time.
Facebook will uphold the Trump ban but reassess the decision over the coming months.
Take the key points, please. Key points, lay it out real quick within that article, and I think it'll give us all the insight we need.
All right. Facebook's oversight board ruled to uphold the company's decision to suspend the former president, Donald Trump's Facebook and Instagram accounts. But the board said the indefinite time frame of the suspension was not appropriate. The board effectively punted the decision, which they did. On the link, the suspicion back to Facebook, saying the platform seeks to avoid its responsibilities by applying a vague penalty and then referring it to the board to review. So they're throwing it back on Zuckerberg.
Yes,
is that what they're doing?
Yes.
With
and the
that,
board.
So there it is. Those are all the thank you, Oscar. Way to be on fleet of foot and have that. I think it's all about the punishment fitting the crime. I mean, if you are using that platform, I don't care if you're the president or you're the ex-president or whatever. I think he got away with a lot.
I did. He
by,
did.
By doing this, he incited a major insertion, insurgence rather, at the Capitol. And everybody's just, oh, what a surprise, Mike, that you feel that. No, there's a lot of large part of me that says free speech is free speech. But when you have the power with that responsibility comes, the idea that you want to do it and use it correctly.
I do believe that he must have seen this coming because did you see what he launched yesterday?
No.
He has it says here, this is from Fox News, but it is actually true. Former President Trump launched a communications platform on Tuesday, yesterday, which will serve as a place to speak freely and safely and will eventually give him the ability to communicate directly with his followers after being banned from Twitter and Facebook. It's called From the Desk of Donald J. Trump, and you can access it at DonaldTrump.com. Yeah, DonaldTrump.com/desk.
It's not going to be as effective. It's not going
to
work.
It took 3 months to build that.
Yeah, but that's his play right now. Mm. That's his play.
Do you think? I don't think he should be reinstated. I think it's dangerous.
No,
I think it's dangerous for the country, and I think it's dangerous. This is not freedom of speech because you're talking about someone who can damage national security.
Mm-hmm.
And when you damage national security, and look, I can't stress enough that there was the possibility that a legislator or legislators could have been badly hurt or even worse on that particular day. And, Mike Pence in particular, the vice president for 4 years in the Trump administration. That alone to me is, you have to have skin in the game, Facebook, and understand this is what could happen with this. I don't know how you
can. There's so many things you can't do in this country if you break the law. If you get pulled over in certain states and you got a bunch of narcotics in your car, you lose your car, right?
Right.
You drink and drive enough times, you lose your license. And that is I mean, those are egregious, serious crimes. Someone with the power that Donald Trump has to not just incite an insurrection, but really to create a framework and a narrative of lies. I mean, they should have no qualms or problems saying, we're not here for that.
Right. And
we're
it's
not here for that.
And also it is, remember, Facebook is a business. It's not like he's guaranteed the right to participate with them.
No, you can throw anybody out of your business.
So it's not a freedom of speech issue. It's a business issue.
But you will get, here's the weird thing about all of this, that you're going to get half the country that is saying that he did not lie. And how do we ever negotiate?
He's on tape looking for votes.
Yeah, but I mean, but the thing about it is, how do we ever get to a place where truth matters again in America? How do we ever get to a place where you have your team politically and my team politically, but if there's a fact out there that is damaging for one particular candidate, a fact is a fact. How do we ever get there? You know why? You know, let me. Can I just answer my own question? Please. Oscar, I think we get there by putting this guy, this one individual in our rearview mirror.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. I think the further we get away, yes, mm-hmm. are there people that are still carrying the torch? Yeah, the individuals like Ted Cruz, Josh Hawley, and people like that are still carrying the banner, and Marjorie Taylor Greene and people. But I think that I would love to get back to a place where, you know, I came out and screamed about Andrew Cuomo getting away with his behavior. And he seems like he's slithered out from that and nobody's talking about it anymore. I think everybody should be called out when something's wrong. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But this guy's bad. This guy's dangerous for truth, in my opinion.
Yeah. So look, I get so much hate now from people like, you have to represent the conservative side of the conversation. And I made no bones about it that all bets were off after the bungling of the way that the pandemic was frankly just completely mismanaged in this country, considering what we had and what we have in the infrastructure, even with
what we knew and when we knew it.
And the runway and why people kept things open or not. It just, that's what brought me into this fold and really carried me to where I am today politically, and including with the Black Lives Matter movement, where, you know, that was overdue. But for me, to those people that are listening right now, I'm not beyond looking at both sides of the equation, but I feel now the body of work that Donald Trump has left, like, why do we want more of that? Why would the country want more of that?
Mm-hmm. We want more of that because there is an anger, a deep-seated anger in a large sector of the United States that feels like they are getting the shaft. Now, when I talk about my compatriots down here in Southwest Florida, you can look at them and say, the line, maybe, I don't know whether we had it on the show or whether I heard it from somebody else. You wanted to look and say, what don't you have? What don't you have as a 68-year-old guy with a retirement account that allows you to go out and play golf every day? What mm-hmm. don't you have? Why are you so pissed off? Because there's really, it's tough to find that. It's tough to find the answer to that.
Yeah.
But when you're talking about people that are out in a Trump world, who think because of this massive campaign, there's a massive campaign from this administration that went on and on and on, and it resonated with people. It tapped into the anger. That's why I make an effort, as you like to tell me to do, I make mm-hmm. an effort to try to understand what's happening now. Mm-hmm. Here. I make an effort to hear the arguments about, well, there's so many people that are collecting now that they can't fill jobs in restaurants and hospitality down here in Southwest Florida. You hear that all the time. Well, I'm not going to argue with them, but I get it that they get frustrated with that. I'm not going to say, well, maybe if you paid a livable wage to people in the hospitality industry mm-hmm. that would match what they're getting sitting on their ass, you'd have that. We got to have an equal playing field. I get that,
To that argument, I saw back and forth yesterday with a restaurateur that they said, well, if we pay them more, we'd have to charge the consumers more.
Right.
And no
Yeah.
That's the case. That's what happens. Yep. I'm already paying $10 for a number one meal that used to be $6.
Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
You know, it's the, you have to, it's balance. It's balance. It's finding balance. And you have to, and then it gets back to the providers of this. And everybody's gotta pay their fair share. You know, we have a, it's, this is not, they're not, here's what I think. They're not easy solutions and easy answers to all these problems.
No.
And, you know, if you want my argument for why I want to see things done a certain way in this administration that's doing them, well, I think we've tried it a certain way for a really long time, even in the Democratic administrations. Let's flip it on the other side, see what happens, yeah. See if the economy explodes and things go better. But it's frustrating right now. And I think getting back to the original question about letting this man spew lies out there, I think it's dangerous and it gets people who don't do a deep dive on issues. I'm not arrogant enough to say there aren't UFOs. I'm not arrogant enough to say that when it comes to conservative policies, that everything that comes out of their mouths is bad. I'm just saying I'd like to try different ideas and see how things work out.
When you talk, Mike, at the front of this, when you talked about, can we get back to truth? Can we get back to facts? And I think we can, but I think it's a slow build. And I think the solution is what you said, is if we've gotten ourselves to this situation now, we need to distance ourselves from the recent past.
Well,
if it involves keeping him off social media, which, as we said, is not a violation of his rights.
I feel that way, but there are people who are going to be screaming.
Well,
today.
Let them scream.
There are people that are going to be screaming.
They're allowed to scream, but I think that I disagree.
We're so divided right now, and I think that to hop right back in and let him start doing that.
Not healthy.
You know, nice candy-ass move there, Facebook board. Way to go. Well done. Kicking
we'll
it back to Zuckerberg
to you,
and those people.
We'll get back to you after they get back to us.
Yeah,
but there's no timetable, you know, and I think the more space that we have with that, the better it is. Yeah. So we'll see. Speaking of facts, I love documentaries, and I will tell you, come up, I got to tell you a story about a documentary that I watched last night, where my childhood came back to me because of an individual that I cannot believe. This was a major part of my life, and it involves art theft. We'll be right back.
Well, hey there. It's me, Winslow. I'm a Boston Terrier. I'm just like most dogs. I eat, I poop, I fart, I smell other dogs' butts, I pee on things to show ownership, but the one thing that's special about me is my owner. He's wicked smart. He uses the TMOS Shopping Center at MichaelMarischow.com, Target, and Walmart. It's great for dog food, treats, those squeaky toys I like so bad, and carpet cleaner. Yeah, sorry about that. I had to pee wicked bad. Shop at the TMOS Shopping Center. MichaelMarischow.com. Johnny on the spot. Go Sox. Oh, and woof.
.com. I should have said. Not .com. .com.
Well, he's from a different neighborhood.
Different neighborhood. There you are. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Public.com. The stock market is made for public trading, so it should be more accessible for everyone. That's why Oscar and Rob just joined Public.com, the investing social network, where you can buy stocks for any amount of money. How you doing, boys? And you can share ideas with a wonderfully diverse community of investors. The app is free to use, and there are no account minimums to get started. With fractional investing, you can buy slices of the biggies at any amount of money versus buying full shares. So you can get started with as little as a buck. When you invest with Public.com, you're never investing alone. They make it easy to collaborate and build your confidence as an investor. It's fun, exciting, and interactive. Break free of financial institutions that want you to spend more money and profit from your information. Go to Public.com. Any biggies out there for either one of you guys? Anything you're tracking right now?
Mike, tips? My portfolio is public of what I've invested in.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I can tell you what I've invested in. I'm no expert. Know this. And be prepared when you get tips from me to lose that money. Let me just tell
stop
you.
Stop it.
PLTR, Palantir. It's something I'm holding on for. This is a 3-year hold. I believe in it. I think it's going to be something someday.
And you know what? It's fun because you get to scroll. People comment. It's like Facebook, but for stock market. People are putting their opinions up and saying, I did good with this. Stay away from this. It's so much fun to just scroll and see what people are up to.
Go to public.com/TMOS to follow Oscar and Rob on public.com and see what they're investigating, or investing, I should say. You can start investing today with as little as a dollar. You'll even get a free slice of stock when you join. Go to public.com/TMOS to download the app. Mandatory disclaimer. Oh, I read that. You don't need to put that in there. Valid for U.S. presidents 18 plus, subject to account approval. See public.com/disclosures, not investment advice. We thank you. All right, so I devour everything on Netflix. I love Netflix. I'm paying attention to Netflix all the time. And by the way, how's the connectivity, boys? Are we doing okay?
Fantastic. You look great. You sound great.
Jumping around a little bit. All right, very good. So I watched this documentary last night, and let me see if I've got it right. I want to make sure. It's called "This Is a Robbery: The World's Biggest Art Heist," and I'm just watching it because it's interesting.
Right.
And it's this museum in Boston that is
museum from Boston.
Your museum from Boston, and I'm watching this, and it's going on. And it's about this. They had these two guards. Security was really kind of lax, and they had amazing artwork in this museum. The only seascape ever painted by Rembrandt. There was some big stuff. And I haven't gotten all the way through the documentary because I don't know whether they ever caught anybody about this or what. But this took place back, I think, in the 70s. And you got all the present day people who are talking about this. Well, suddenly they put this guy on. Called Miles Connor Jr., who was a noted art thief from Boston, was a bad guy in and out of prison, spent most of his life in prison, and suddenly I went, Connor. Oh, my God, Connor. I grew up in Maine for my entire life in the back of my parents' car. Every time we got to Maine, on Route 1, coming out of Ellsworth, Maine, and we got halfway home, I would look out the side window and I would point and I would say, that's the rock Connor hid behind, because this guy, Connor, is a guy that was housed, I believe, at the Ellsworth County Jail, carved a gun out of soap and escaped. And there was a massive manhunt when I was a little bitty kid. This guy is, I think, his late 70s now, maybe 80. And I guess he was a young guy when this was happening. But this guy, Connor, bad dude, robbery, convicted of murder at one point. I remember and I'm like, oh, my God, all they're talking about is this guy, Connor, who claims, and I have no reason to dispute, that on the night of this particular art theft, and I wish I had the name of the museum where the
I'll pull it up here.
It's a very long name for this museum. He was in federal custody at the time, so he could not have been this guy. But they've got him on camera present day, an old chunky man sitting there, and this guy, I had no idea. All I knew is that I would say to my mom and dad, that's the rock Connor hid behind, because it was such a huge story for all
it's
of us.
Gardner Museum?
Gardner Museum.
Isabella Stewart Gardner.
The Isabella Stewart Gardner. You've watched it, right, Pony? You've watched the whole documentary?
Oh, yeah, I watched the whole thing this weekend in one sitting. It's fantastic.
Pony, Miles Connor was a massive story one summer up in Maine when we were all up there. And everybody was up there. So I want to say this probably happened in August.
Okay.
And I remember this. The only story, I remember a couple of stories. Two stories from this that I remember vividly. Driving back from Ellsworth, Maine, and state troopers lining up Route 1. And you know what it's like up there, guys.
Yeah.
There's
nothing.
Imagine when I was a boy. There's nothing going on up there, right?
I found a fantastic picture. Just quick sidebar, Mike. Quick sidebar.
Yes.
Of your daughter and little Michael on my computer yesterday. When Michael was so little and your daughter Elizabeth is there. And we're out like on the point, essentially.
Right, right.
And in the back, lurking like Bigfoot. And I don't mean this in a rude way, is Rob Ford.
Oh, yeah. I remember
Ford
that trip.
I knew Rob Ford was going to be there.
I can't wait
to
share
just,
with you guys.
You know, when you guys were up there, it's not well-traveled.
So was it the actual rock that they found him behind? I mean,
it was. Look, I couldn't tell you all the details because it's so long ago.
That's so crazy.
Right across from U's Seafood, YU, where you get a lobster roll, is a little craft store. And then in the field behind that, obscured by trees now, wasn't always, was a rock. And I used to point because I was so excited year after year after year. Then it became a thing where as I'd grow up, I'd come back as an adult and fly and I go, there's the Rock Connor hit behind. I'd be with a stranger. I'd say, there's the Rock.
You might have said that in my SUV when we were going up.
I think you may have. I mean, but you know, it's funny because you have places that you drive to over and over and over again, especially starting as a kid.
Right.
A 3-4 hour drive is like eternity. And those are the things you look for. So that was probably part of it too. I mean, so, you get excited. That's one of your signposts.
I'm a kid. We're coming back from Ellsworth. I see all the state troopers. The way I understood it is that his mother was in the back with a bullhorn connected to the state trooper PA system, trying to talk him into giving up to the police. That's the way
like a real hostage situation.
Don't
like
know
you
whether
see in
it's
Hollywood.
True.
Yeah.
Don't know whether it's true at all. Second story, and the better story of the two. We are driving, all of us, piled into one of my cousin's cars, one of my my aunt's cars. She's driving all the kids. I think we may have been going to a movie in Ellsworth all together, back in the day where they had a theater in Ellsworth, Maine. We're in the back. There is a checkpoint, a state police checkpoint, where they are checking cars. This is and by the way, when you put all seven kids together, nothing good could happen. Because it was just it's just a big car full of dysfunction.
And
that's
also
all it is.
This is pre-car seats, probably pre-seat belts. The back of the car probably looked like the Well of the Souls in Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Seat belts don't matter at all.
Slithering children.
The oldest, one of the oldest cousins, my cousin Mary, we're pulling away from the checkpoint. I'll never forget this. And we start pulling away from the checkpoint, and my cousin Mary rolls down the back window and goes, "He's in the trunk! Oh no!" I remembered all this stuff, and then I'm like, "Oh my!" But let me tell you, I know that there have probably been times I've done a dive on this guy to see what he was all about, to see, you know, is he dead? I thought he was long since dead. Suddenly, I'm watching this impish face talking about being an art thief, just matter-of-factly talking about how many robberies he's done in his lifetime. He's a South Boston thug that did this kind of stuff. It was riveting. Pony, this guy was a huge part because he did art thefts up in Maine, probably from private homes and small little museums up there. And this guy, it was fascinating. Don't give a spoiler alert, but is Connor part of this documentary throughout or just the one that I'm watching right now?
So he will come up a few more times. I mean, he was a very prolific art thief. But this story, if you've only seen one episode, you're going to very much enjoy the next three because it grows hair so fast and starts getting into like mob bosses. It's just an incredible story.
It's called This Is a Robbery, the World's Biggest Art Heist. And it just went on and on. And it just went suddenly a memory from my childhood.
That's crazy.
To let you know how little goes on there, you know, this is a small town. I mean small. I'm talking small.
We understand it's small, Arthur.
It's small.
Oh, look at Uncle Peter. He's in the trunk right there.
But wouldn't we all agree that in the area of high crime, the art theft, you know, breaking into the museum with all of their security has always had that allure to people. And this is, it's hard to stop watching this and the way they did that.
I saw the first episode as well. So I can tell you that from someone that didn't have the context of a childhood and understanding that they may know somebody that's on the screen being interviewed, it was mind blowing. And even to this day, it's mind blowing when people have, like, when people are able to steal this type of art without getting caught.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing. And harder now, of course, obviously, than it was back in the day. The other thing about this guy, Miles Connor, that I did not know is that he was a bit of a local rock and roll guy that had a following that did shows at local clubs around the Boston area and had a real following
This guy had a non-traditional job?
Yes.
And that maybe was sporadic in some sort of income flow into the house.
Right.
Yeah.
He turned to a life of crime.
Turned to a life of crime. His day job was an art thief or a commercial. And I tried to do a deep dive on
the murder charge that is a horrific murder charge against this guy that he was exonerated for, that the conviction was overturned. Wow. Because I think his alibi is that he had a gig that night and he was at a club and he was playing at a club that night. But I'm talking about a grisly murder, like a screwdriver in the temple.
Ooh.
Murder. Nasty little stuff. But robbery, assault, a string of thefts. This guy, this was a bad guy.
Is it true that the artwork he stole was a painting of Ted Williams?
Teddy boy, your thief from Boston. But as Oscar will tell you, if you note one thing about this particular art thief, note the look of the guard that was on duty the night. You want to see a guy that, boy, I can't imagine why they had a problem at this museum with a guard that looks like Weird Al Yankovic.
Oh, no.
Only longer hair back in the day. Very strange story. Very fascinating, yeah. Really.
And Mike, I think we forget that every 2 years we hear about a robbery in Europe for these art pieces,
yep,
being,
yes,
just gone.
Right.
And they never, right, effing find them. You'd think they'd put like a little chip in them by now.
I know. You would think. You would think that they'd do that. And
I think a few of them are in your dad's living room, Oscar.
They may be, as long as they're nudes. Find out.
Oh, it is not me, Oscar. It is a rare painting that my father. Hey,
the Thomas Crown Affair is one of my favorite movies, and I think it's underrated. Mm-hmm. People don't talk about it enough.
You know, I still think your father's place in Bolivia is probably got an elevator that goes like 12 floors down. Yeah, you know, to his gun room or something
the
like
salt
that.
Mines.
Yeah, the salt mines underneath, you know.
I want my art thieves to be those guys, not the guy that's playing the black cat on the weekends. Like, I just don't want that.
You'll be very disappointed too when you see he does not look like the prototype.
Oh,
by any chance, in his dirty T-shirt in his backyard with horses. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the digital dumpster right after this.
You know, I didn't come here to preach to you today. You're not a man. You're a bishop, for God's sake.
There is no God.
I guess I'd have to say Jesus. Who better than Christ?
Praise be to He.
We're crucifying someone tonight?
Daddy, you just threw Jesus across the room.
If loving the Lord is wrong, I don't want to be right.
I was in the sky with Jesus.
Isn't so, that special?
Brothers and sisters, it's the Reverend Twitch here preaching the truth. The Mike O'Mara Bonus Show is your salvation of laughs. An extra uncensored show that delivers heavenly hilarity each and every week. Get a bonus show subscription at MikeO'MaraShow.com and always remember
how you can give your heart to Jesus, but your ass belongs to
Mike O'Mara.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Thank you, Twitch. Here's a message from Cornerstone. Mortgage rates fell again last week, suggesting that the market isn't all that concerned about inflation just yet. The 30-year, was it last week? This is the same spot we read last
week.
They
fell again last week.
They fell again last week.
Yes.
Okay. The 30-year fixed rate mortgage dropped to its lowest level in around 2 months. Can you, if I check that right after the show is over, you will verify that 100%.
I'm fairly certain they dropped again last week.
There he is.
What we're saying, Mike, is that the rates are low. The rates are low.
We believe the rates are still low.
We guarantee you they're low. Absolutely.
All right. Mortgage applications have surged. Rates are moving daily. That's the point we're trying to make here. You need to work with a team you can trust, and the only one I trust is Mark Livingstone and his team at Cornerstone First Financial. They're good folks. Even if you're working with another company, use Cornerstone as a sounding board to make sure you're getting the best deal for you and your family. I used them. I work with the lovely Joanna at Cornerstone First Financial, and not only got the first mortgage on my home, but I refinanced a very short time afterwards because the rates were so favorable to me. Cornerstone First is a direct lender. They'll guarantee to meet or beat any offer. The professionals at Cornerstone First are standing by now. 202-625-1221. That's 202-625-1221 or cornerstonefirst.com. Call now. Cornerstone First Financial. Personal attention from application to closing. Just got to keep you on your toes.
Understood.
Every day. That's my motto for 2021. That's what I do for you.
Twinkle
toes. Keep you on your digital toes.
All right, now open it up. Spin the wheel.
There we go. Oh! Still in there.
Good news. She got her second dose of Moderna yesterday in the dumpster.
Good. Wonderful. That's a beautiful thing.
They're available anywhere.
Anywhere. Anyone can get it, including Frances McDormand in the dumpster. Mike,
great.
Are you familiar with a 44-year-old New York professor named Ari Nagel?
Yeah, we went to summer camp together in Portland, Maine.
Well, I know Eric Nagel.
No, this is Ari Nagel. He has a nickname, the Sperminator. He was on, who's your favorite doctor named Mehmet?
Oz.
Yes.
Dr. Oz.
Dr. Yeah. Oz released this clip.
Crappy host on Jeopardy.
Dr. Mehmet Oz had this guy on. He has fathered 78 children. He has 13 more on the way. And he sort of considers it a gift he gives by donating his...
It's gross.
It is very gross. Yeah.
There's no other way you can
ban this guy from society.
And if you think it's gross just describing it.
A bunch of guys, a bunch of people running around. 78 people, like 100 people are going to be running around looking like him.
And 13 more on the way. Mike, listen to this guy talk.
A lot of the women are just in the U.S. Sometimes they're abroad. I went to Africa twice last month to try and meet women to help them conceive. The month before that, I was in Barbados and then Georgia, the country, not the state. Well, of the 13 women that are currently pregnant, I gave it to them all in a cup, and then they just put it in themselves. Sometimes we end up using a clinic if they're older. Around a dozen of my children were conceived the old-fashioned way. I never charged any of the women for helping them grow their families. Of course, I do get paid with lots of hugs and kisses and a lifetime of appreciation.
Okay.
Yuck!
All right, I'm sorry.
Yuck.
Nothing right about that. I'm sorry. Not, especially that guy. I traveled to Africa because I'm looking for... Black.
Bye. Black. I went to Georgia, the country, not the state.
That is just weird. I don't know.
Anyway,
it's like a bad blind date where you're like, I'm going to pass on that sperm.
But you
like,
know,
once you meet him.
Say 13 different women. Yeah,
it's a 90-day
fiance way.
Ripoff. Yeah. where you're basically not sleeping with them, but you want something to conceive.
And I
But then what about the child support?
I love the fact that he says, like, he's defending himself. I never charged a single one of them.
I get paid in hugs and kisses.
The creeps.
All right. Okay, Channing Tatum, he is quite a good body, no?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Get in line.
Handsome
fellow.
He explains why he works out so much, Mike.
As someone that has to work out as for a job, I promise you I would not look like this unless I had to be naked in most of my movies, mostly. and like, at some point, I got to get better at acting so I don't have to be naked in all of them. But she is just incredible. I literally get to work out as a job. And it's still hard.
He says that if he was a better actor, he wouldn't have to work out so much. I like that.
That's a very good point. He could, Anthony Hopkins isn't going to do nude scenes anymore.
Well, I'm just telling the truth.
Give me a break.
If it's your job to look good,
yeah,
then you got to look good.
And I'm sure it's a grind. It's a grind to have that physique. It's going to be movie physique.
Mark Wahlberg, he just did a role where he had to gain 30 pounds real quick. And you see, and he took a picture of him. Two people did this.
Yeah.
Two great actors. And I know you might not agree, but Mark Wahlberg did it because he wanted to show how quickly you can change your body. But that's more like a fitness thing. Like,
right.
You can lose it right away. And I do know. I know that. I know that. But then Will Smith put out a picture of him with his button-down shirt open and a little flab. And he literally told the world, he goes, I'm not going to lie. This is the worst shape of my life I've ever been in, but I wanted to show the world. And it just looks like a different person.
And Will Smith and Mark Wahlberg are both guys that are honest about that because you know they know how to get into shape.
They're going to bounce right back.
100%. They bounce right back. Yeah. They got the formula. Fantastic. And it requires an incredible amount of effort, like all day at their job. That's their job.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right, Mike, there's been a couple jukebox musicals on Broadway that have been huge hits. The big one that comes to mind is Jersey Boys, where they took all the music of Frankie Valli and turned it into a story. Oscar and I actually watched the movie together in a hotel room one night.
Yeah.
There was two lights. One was on. One was off.
Well, when you turn yours off,
father, then
I said, "Hey, man, turn that back on. It's not that type of party."
That's right. And so, certain bands work for the jukebox musical, Mike. I'm not sure that Limp Bizkit would. Someone said, "What if we tried a Limp Bizkit song as a jaunty show tune?" And this is the result. I find it very catchy.
It's just one of those days when you don't want to wake up. Everything is. Everybody sucks. You don't really know why, but you want to justify ripping someone's head off. No human contact, and if you interact, your life's on contract. Your best bets to stay away. It's just one of those days. It's all about the he says, she says, bull.
I think you better quit. It's starting to annoy.
Or you'll be leaving with a fat limp.
It's Not bad.
That's
not terrible.
Break Stuff by yes. Limp Bizkit. So maybe very not great. A jukebox musical. I don't know. Mm-hmm. No. Everyone's sick of Zoom meetings, right? I mean, we're all doing it. I know.
I'm still okay with them.
I know that.
No,
we
I mean
get
it's what I do
it.
For a living, so I'm not sick of it. This is what we do every day. So.
One guy who is sick of it is named Eric Yawn. He is the Zoom CEO. He's even tired of Zoom meetings. The guy who's head of Zoom.
BS. He's not tired of looking at his checkbook.
He loves looking at the checks, though.
I do. I can tell you, last April, you know, on a peak day, I had a total of 19 Zoom meetings. I'm so tired of that. So I do have a meeting today. So I do not have any back-to-back meetings anymore. I think I feel much more comfortable.
I think you're right, Mike. I think he's probably...
I didn't know it was a Southern company.
No, it is. Yeah, it's based in, I believe it's Mississippi.
Okay. Very good.
And let us close with this. This was a TikTok video. Mike, have you ever chugged a carbonated beverage so hard that it just sort of locks up in your throat and regurgitates? You know what I mean?
We've all done that.
Beers are carbonated, so the answer was a resounding yes.
So this bro was doing a TikTok thing where he was going to chug a sparkling water, and he did not expect it to back up on him. There's some great audio here, and I have to say that he's doing it in his driveway. And because he's flipped out...
I like it with the setup.
But then this bro is a little flipped out by the regurge, so he turns and runs, and he hits his head on a half-open garage door. So that's about what you're going to get here as we close with this bro from TikTok.
Your man might have the Star Wars Lego set Death Star, but can he chug a sparkling water and not burp? Oh my gosh. What do I do?
Okay, that's
your digital dumpster.
Let's give one more, please.
Your man might have the Star Wars Lego set Death Star, but can he chug a sparkling water and not burp? Oh my gosh. What do I do?
I needed a third.
The last part is the best, isn't it? The third act. Here's the bro on TikTok.
Your man might have the Star Wars Lego set Death Star, but can he chug a sparkling water and not burp? Oh my gosh. What do I do?
And that is your digital dumpster. Have a swell Wednesday.
You get to close the show today, Rob. Okay. There's a tease for you. We got to get out of here. That is, I don't know what it is, but sometimes they work like that.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Boy, I'd sure like to get a care package overnight with that, edit it any way you want it. We got to get out of here. Thanks for joining us. We want to say a very, very big thank you to Dr. Gene Kritzky from the Mount St. Joseph University, the cicada expert. It's cicadasafari.org.
Do it.
And you can get that free at the Apple App Store and Google Play. That's his website, and you can get his Cicada Safari app as well. So there you go. I muddled that, but that's
plug,
okay.
Plug,
I was
plug.
Still thinking of the guy with the thing. We got to get out of here for Robin Oscar, Michael Vera saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
Want more? Make sure you check out The Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, radio entertainment.
Your man might have the Star Wars Lego set Death Star, but can he chug a sparkling water and not burp?
Oh my gosh. What do I do?